The return of Christ. This comes from 1 Thessalonians chapters 4 and 5. We do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as do the rest who have no hope.
For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus.
For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord shall not precede those who have fallen asleep.
For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God.
And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord.
Therefore, comfort one another with these words.
Now as to the times and the epochs, brethren, you have no need of anything to be written to you. For you yourselves know full well that the day of the Lord will come just like a thief in the night.
While they are saying peace and safety, then destruction will come upon them suddenly, and they shall not escape.
But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you like a thief.
For you are all sons of light and sons of day. We are not of night, nor of darkness.
For God has not destined us for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Who died for us, that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him.
Amen.
Paul makes the argument all through this chapter. Here are things that are true if Jesus rose from the dead. Here are things that are true if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, and it's much better if he did. And Paul's argument, obviously, is that, yes, Jesus rose from the dead. Look at verse 20. He says, but Christ has indeed been... Wait. Let's back up. Look at verse 19. Paul says, if only for this life we have hope in Christ, we're to be pitied more than all men. Paul's saying, if this is all there is, the joke's on us. And it's really sad. Okay? So he's saying, obviously, there's more. We have hope in more than just this life. Now, verse 20. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. There's that term again. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. But each in his own turn. Christ, the first fruits. Now notice the next words. Then when he comes, those who belong to him. When he comes, those who belong to him. Doesn't say Christ first. And then when you die, it's your turn. No. It says, Christ first, he rose. Then it says, when he comes, those who belong to him, all of them at the same time. Look down at verse 50 through 58. I declare to you, brothers, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, die, but we will all be changed. In a flash, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law, but thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. share, Paul says, I'll share a mystery with you. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. That's not just a great sign to hang above the nursery door. Okay, some of you are starting to catch on. You know, the babies won't all sleep, but they'll all get changed. He's saying we won't all die, but we will all be changed in a flash, in a moment, at the sound of the last trumpet. Christ will come back. Believers will be resurrected. Believers that have died are resurrected. Others are changed from mortal to immortal, from perishable to imperishable. And it's at that point that death is swallowed up in victory, because there's no more death. The enemy of death at that point is done away with for believers. It's over at that point. It no longer has any impact on us at all. We will not all sleep, not all die, because Christ will come back before everyone has died. Some will be made immortal without death. But when that trumpet sounds, the dead are raised, the living will be changed, and death will be defeated at that point. Turn over to Philippians chapter 3. This again is the Apostle Paul writing. Look at verse 7. I said 10, but look at verse 7. He says, whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him. Not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. So Paul, very passionate here. Nothing in his life matters as much as Christ. He said he's willing to give it all up. It's garbage compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Jesus Christ. You know, Paul, as passionate as he can be, says, What matters in my life is Jesus Christ. Now look at verses 10 and 11, and he tells why. He says, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain the resurrection from the dead. Paul's saying, I give it all up to attain resurrection. I give it all up. I'll become like Christ in his death just to have a part in the resurrection, because that's what it's all about. That's when eternal life is bestowed. When Jesus comes back, when he comes down, and then resurrection occurs. Look at verses 20 and 21. Paul says, but our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Paul says our citizenship is in heaven. Doesn't mean that we're going there. It just means that our citizenship is registered there. He says we're not citizens of earth per se. We're not citizens of this realm, of this world. Our citizenship is that kingdom. It's God's realm. He's in heaven. And we eagerly await a Savior that's coming from heaven to earth. And when he comes, he says, he'll transform our lowly, perishable, mortal bodies to be imperishable, to be immortal, to be glorious like him. Turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. There's so much more I want to say in each of these. 1 Thessalonians 4, we could really go back to verse 13, but just going to read verses 16 and 17. No, let's do 13. Because I think we're doing okay on time. Paul here says, brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. He's not talking about folks sitting through a long-winded sermon, falling asleep. Okay? That's not what he means there. He says, I don't want you to be ignorant about those who die or to grieve like folks who have no hope. He goes on to, I think he's basically saying, you know, grieving is fine. Death hurts. We don't like death. It's a bother. It interrupts our life. It brings grief. It brings all kinds of bad feelings into our lives. We don't like it. So he's not saying don't grieve. He's saying don't grieve like folks who have no hope. It's appropriate that we grieve. It's appropriate that we express the loss that we feel when a loved one dies. So we're not to be ignorant about people who die. We're to know what our hope is. And then in verses 16 and 17, he says, for the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet call of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. And verse 18, therefore encourage each other with these words. Okay? Don't be ignorant about those who have died, because Jesus himself, the same Jesus that walked on the earth, the same Jesus that we read about, the same Jesus that did all those miracles, he ascended to God's right hand. He's coming back. There'll be a loud command, the trumpet call of God, the voice of the archangel. Jesus will come back. Those who have died in Christ will be resurrected first. I think it all happened very, very quickly. It says the dead in Christ will rise first. And then immediately after that, those who are living at that point will be caught up together with them. They'll be changed and made immortal and be with Christ from that point on. We're not to be ignorant about those who sleep. They're not lost. They're just asleep in death. When Christ comes back, they'll rise. I think I've told this story before, that when Nicholas was he's 29 now, when he was 2 or 3, when he was like 18 months, you could understand every word he said. He was incredible in that way. And we'd take him to bed and we'd teach him different things. Taught him the word resurrection. Well, that's a mouthful for like a 2 or 3 year old. And he used to, I know this is a little warped and twisted, but he used to like to hang out in the cemetery with the grave diggers because they had a tractor. They had a backhoe. That was cool, okay? And the guy in charge, his name was Bud Hoffman, just by coincidence. And Nicholas would kind of hang out and we'd let him, and so he saw a lot about graves being dug and all that sort of stuff. One night, as we were discussing resurrection, the little wheels were really turning. And he said, Daddy, when Jesus comes back, does Bud have to come and dig everybody up? No. The dirt's just going to fly. I've always said there'd be a great place, you know, wouldn't you love just to be sitting at the edge of the cemetery when Jesus comes back and just watch the dirt fly and then be caught? It'd be great. Somebody's going to be ticked because cemeteries are going to be a mess, you know. All those graves opened up. Jesus will come down. There'll be a loud command, the voice of the archangel, the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ rise first. And then the living are changed and made immortal and are with the Lord. Turn to Hebrews chapter 11. I forgot about this one. We're not doing as good as time as we thought. Hebrews 11. We'll make it. Hebrews 11 is the Hall of Fame of the faithful. There's about 26, 7, 8, 9 different people that are commended for their faith. The chapter says these folks did great things. They were faithful to the very end. It's talking about Abraham, and look what it says in verse 10. It says, for he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Okay, just hold that thought. Abraham's looking forward to a city with foundations. Again, Revelation 21 and 2 describes New Jerusalem, a city with foundations. So Abraham's looking for that. Look at verse 13. Not just talking about Abraham, but everybody mentioned so far in the chapter. In verse 13, it says, all these people were still living by faith when they died. Now, notice what's said next. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. If words mean anything, it means Abraham didn't see that city with foundations. I said, none of those folks mentioned so far received what was promised. They just had hope. They just saw them from a distance. It's called hope. It's called faith. They were looking into the future, and they had hope of what was to come, but they hadn't received it yet. Look at verses 39 and 40, the end of the chapter. Again, I think it's 26 people mentioned in the chapter. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. And if we pause here, and it's a pretty impressive list, folks, of people that are mentioned in the chapter. You know, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, a whole bunch of folks. David, a whole bunch of different people. Abraham, they're all mentioned. They had not received what had been promised. Verse 40. God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. When are they made perfect? When Jesus comes back. When the mortal is changed to immortal, when the perishable is changed to imperishable, not upon their death, but when Jesus comes back. It happens for everyone at the same time. None of those folks had received what was promised. Isn't it cool? Only together with us, all at the same time. Death's not the time of rewarding. Those are major texts, just some smaller samples of things that I thought appropriate to include. In Acts 2:38, and this is just kind of a challenge, Acts chapter 2, verse 38, for David did not ascend to heaven. Well, if he didn't, who did? He's called a man after God's own heart. But he didn't ascend to heaven. He died. He sleeps in the grave. In Luke 14:14, Jesus is telling a story kind of related to the kingdom. And he concludes this story. He says, you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. That happens when Jesus returns. Okay. In John 5, verse 28 and 29, Jesus says, do not be amazed at this, for a time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done good will rise to live. Those who have done evil will rise to be condemned. And Daniel 12:2 essentially says the same thing, talks about the resurrection. In 2 Thessalonians 2:1, this was part of the responsive reading that we did, says, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus and our being gathered to him. It goes on from there. In James 5, it's that banner in the very back, verses 7 and 8. Be patient then, brothers, till you die? No, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield his valuable crop and how patient he is for the autumn and spring rains. You too be patient and stand firm because the Lord's coming is near. Salvation is tied to Jesus' return, not to death. The giving, the granting of our eternal life occurs at Jesus' return. Now, 1 John 2:28, now, dear children, continue in him so that when he appears, we may be confident and unashamed before him at his coming. Just gave a small sample. There's all kinds of verses like that that say those kinds of things. And I put 1 Peter 1 in parentheses there. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 3 and verses 1 through 4 as we conclude. Colossians chapter 3 and verses 1 through 4. Okay. So death is our enemy. It's not something that we look forward to. It's not a time of rewarding. It's like sleep. We have no conscious thought. We don't know anything. Eternal life is granted when Jesus comes back. It comes from heaven down to earth. So what do we do with that? If we know that truth of what the Bible says, we have that in mind, how do we respond to that? Because it's not something we're supposed to keep to ourselves. So many people are just all wrapped up in that thought of immediate gratification, that salvation comes immediately, and that's not what the Bible says. It comes when Jesus comes back. So how do we respond? I think this text gives us some good examples, and I'm not going to expound upon it, but I think it says some valuable things to us. Colossians 3, since then you've been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. We know that truth, that eternal life comes when Jesus comes back. So set your mind on those kingdom things, not on earthly things, but on the things of the Lord, on things above, on that hope and that perspective that we have that Jesus will come back. Cling to that hope because it's real and it's true, and we very much need to share it with others. Father, thank you for the truth of your word, that your salvation comes down to earth. Help us to live that way as well, Father, to be down to earth folks who just live our faith very well and who share it quite freely, because people need to know. They need that hope so that they're not ignorant of what's to come, and so that they're not desperate for answers. Help us to share, Lord, Jesus Christ is the way and the truth and the life for now and for all eternity. We pray this in his name. Amen.